can do a little but very, very, very short introduction. Let's keep it organic. Like you said, we did some preparation, but these are only the guidelines, just a few bullet points if we ran out of things to say. Sam, like we told you yesterday, you are actually the first guest on a renewed project, so-called Backstage Podcast, which is a podcast where we invite different like artists, promoters, event organizers, some other industry professionals, and we just discuss what is going on behind the scenes of the music industry. You know, like, because when we go to an event, it's very logical to us that everything is there, all the equipment is there, all the artists are there, all the artists play their music. But in reality, behind the scenes, a lot is going on. So this is just offering audience some insights into what's going on behind the scenes. And yeah, very simple. And just having a friendly conversation, like maybe meeting new people. We obviously know each other already. You with Yuri, you worked a lot on music. And yeah, just a friendly conversation. Like, who are you? Who are we? What's up?
Well, thanks for the introduction. First of all, it's an honor to be the first guest on this new podcast. I'm excited, so I'm ready to have a quick talk about music in general and whatever you would like to talk about. So let's go.
that's perfect. So yeah, as David told us, this is I think David, this is like the fourth official season. Am I right? Yeah.
Officially, it's actually fifth, because we filmed the first three episodes live in Slovenia. We filmed them in person. And then fourth episode was kind of like vlogging style, because we were vlogging what we were doing a year and a half ago in Berlin when we were here on Erasmus working exchange. And then we started working on our own festival. And then since then, we never had the time, or never, let's put it that way, we never took the time to revive it again. And now that we are like physically separated and all this studio logistics would be a little too complicated, we said, okay, let's just focus on content and start doing this web-based conversations. So that's where we are right now.
Yeah, so I think the most reasonable start to have for the fifth official season is where do we know each other from? So it's a funny story. We've been to Cineit in Berlin. I think it was 1.5 years ago. I think it was in October or something, 2023. So yeah, we were with the team in Arasso in Berlin for Cineit. Wanted to go to Farah's set, Farah Grace. And I think her set was from 4 to 6 in the morning. Am I correct, Sam?
I think it was 3 hours that time.
Four to seven or something like that. Yeah. So it was in the morning, something in the morning. And so we went there. Of course, Vera and Ivo Saptera knew each other from music, but never met each other in person. And there was another guy wearing a fucking Kibernet alternative logo hoodie. And I didn't know him at the time, but it happened to be Sam. So very interesting. And then from that point on, we just kind of clicked from there, and he released a single which is going to, or is just reached 10k.
Just reached on, 10k.
Just reached 10k on Kibernet. I have to repost it on stories.
Same.
And is going to release again in a few days. At the end of March, also being a part of various artists, so VA 03 from Kibernet, from our label, and that's like the short brief where we know each other from.
Yep, true.
Now, Sam, now you do the talking. What brought you to Berlin? What happened that night? Where did you first hear even about Kibernet? How did you got that hoodie?
It's funny, because I think I started realizing Subterra's music first, After a while, I just, yeah, I got more and more into music, and in general, I looked up to Kibernetz because it looked like a real label, like a label that put out music for the art and not for the fame. And in general, we had like discussions on WhatsApp, on Instagram, and it just felt really natural. And I love to have a connection and a deeper connection with a label that that feels natural. So the decision was easy to release on Kibernetz label and to pursue this connection and collaboration between the two of us. So that's where it all started, exactly on that night. But we've talked a lot on Instagram and etc. So, but that's indeed how it started.
Yeah, exactly. So when you mentioned that you were really looking for something, or just like more interested in something that felt more natural, as in creative wise, not like just some plastic output of content that some labels do. But also on the other hand, sometimes can also be hard because like younger DJs tend to like get nervous and want to get famous faster, you know. And it was really like the music prevailed in your situation, and I'm really proud and honored that I know you, because you still, in my opinion, you still, you know, pursue that sound, which is at the moment not very popular. It was a few years ago, but at the moment it's not the most popular shit. It's more, still more of a, kind of an underground, and it's very few of those people that are still doing that because they love the music, not because they love the fame, you know.
Yep. It's about like putting soul into tracks, and I don't like to down talk like certain producers or certain labels. However, I think it's important because music is an art form, and people should see it as a proper art form and not like a product. However, it became a product, which is not a bad thing, because people can live off their own ambition and their own music now, which is an amazing thing. However, like the soul that you put into music should be first, as always. If you earn from it, or if you get big from it, happy for you. It's also, I would love to live from my music, but the soul I want to have in my music will always be the first, or will always stand in the first place. So that's indeed how you said it. It is correct.
And where do you pull your inspiration from? For
that's a hard question. I think from life in general, and this is maybe a stereotypical answer, but like from my emotions, how I feel from certain day to certain weeks, I can really hear it back in my productions. And that's also a thing I love when I listen to my old productions. I can like go back in time and feel like how I felt back then. So that's like a funny part of like creating something and creating something new. It's also to get back in time and just feel how you felt back then. But how do I get inspiration? It just comes naturally. It's just life.
Yeah. Do you think that there's one theory that we're not the ones, we're not the one who is creating all the art, but just the medium that art is put through into this world? What do you think about that statement?
Like, if I understand you correctly, so we are not the ones, so we are just the ones like creating it or deciding what we put out, or
okay, let me I was not very clear. So one theory is that human brain or human soul is not creating ideas and putting it out to be present in this world in like hearing form or visual form, but we are just the mediums that the universe uses to put art out, to put the ideas and all the creativity through, you know.
I think it's the most fun part of being a human being, to create something new. And I think indeed, like, we are put on this earth, and maybe not necessarily everyone, but I think if you have that feeling that you want to create something, go for it. Because I think that's the most, you'll get the most satisfaction out of it. If you create new stuff, especially if other people on this earth could get happy of it, or from your art, I think it's the most satisfying job that you can get. But this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it in music, but this could be anything, like painting or creating music or whatever. Just anything about creating something new is unique in my opinion. So this could be definitely an option if you put it in this regard.
You opened an interesting topic. I think you said nature. I wanted to ask you, how do you think that your parents being artists themselves affected you as like now being an artist and creating? Because I remember in your studios there's really, really amazing the creations of nature, and themselves, they are really inspiring.
Yeah. No, I love my parents. but now you're going deep, and indeed I love it. So don't worry. But when I was young, my parents always told me, and this is maybe controversial to most parents in the world. Most parents, if I understand from my surroundings, most parents say to their kids, like, do something that makes money, or do something that's secure or something. And my parents always told me, do something that makes you happy. And it took me a while to figure this out, because I was going to school. Now I finally graduated, which was such a big side quest. but I did it. and now I can fully focus on my music. And I'm so happy, like, not exaggerating, but I'm so happy to focus every day on my music and just live life how I intended it to be. So I'm really blessed with my parents, and also I can use their studio for producing, so my neighbors don't get too mad. so I'm really happy about my parents, and also their like how they taught me some ways and some certain stuff about life, which is really inspiring.
Definitely. Yeah, now this leads us into another example. I was just checking your Instagram a little earlier, and I remembered again a very nice photo of Amsterdam Dance Event, where I think you brought your mom to the gig.
Yep.
I thought that was really, really kind and really special.
Yeah. How was that for you? My mom is coming more often now. She also came to Werkstatt, Vera and mine collective, which we hosted our first party on the 8th of March, which was a huge success. And we did a 3-hour set where my mom danced a full 3 hours without stopping, which was crazy. and I even took my father to a gig as well, which he loved. So I tried to take them with me.
Were they both in the Gabber scene when they were young, or they listened to?
No, definitely not. They hate music.
Oh, really?
No, definitely not. This is like, I don't know why I got so attracted to electronic music. I started listening from a young age, but I always played guitar from when I was really young. My mom was into like dancing, but more like classical salsa and stuff, but never electronic. I never had to put electronic music on to make them happy. They didn't like it. But they are liking it more and more, especially when they see me produce and they hear my productions getting better. I think they like this process. So I think they can admire it from this perspective. And also seeing your kid playing in front of a crowd and making people happy, it's I think it's also for them fun to watch.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, how was the Werkstatt?
Werkstatt was nice, was really nice. We eventually even sold out, which was crazy. We never anticipated like such a big attraction of people, but musical wise it was so nice. Urspiel did such a nice set, and Ensom was crazy as always. It's like a master behind his whole workstation, and then Christa was also so amazing. She loved it as well. She even said like it was one of her favorite gigs, which means a lot, especially from like starting collective. No, but all in all, it was a big success, and we loved it musically wise.
That's awesome. Like what we've been talking about, not in the podcast, but before on the phone a few times, you were saying that Werkstatt is like the new idea of an older sound, and bringing back like the older neo-industrial, which kind of left the scene a few months, maybe a year ago. And I'm really happy that it turned out to be a sold out event with such a good performances. Congratulations,
man. Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Why a Radeon Club? How did that come along?
Good question. That's a bit of a long story. When I was visiting Radeon for myself, I went to Freddy K for myself, and I met Jesse.
Freddy K, yeah.
Yeah, Freddy K all night long was really amazing. But I really met Jesse back then. Jesse is Maroon, groovy. DJ, really, really lovely. So
is he a booker of
Radeon? No. Maroon is a DJ.
I know, but is he also a booker?
No. But this this comes later. We started talking, and we really felt a connection because he loved my story, music-wise, and my ambitions for creating something new within the scene. So he sent a message to Isabel, and Isabel is a really big part of Radeon. Then me and Isabel, together with Jan, also from Radeon, came to sit down, and then later on also with Vera, and that's how things started. But it all started with like a quick message from Jesse, from Maroon to Isabel, which was
crazy.
Yeah,
that's awesome, because you know, when we started with Kibernet, and even before that with the Strifix, we were more focusing on like harder stuff. But now when we get kind of quote unquote older, we tend to like water that hardness down to still fast, but a bit softer sounds and stuff so you can dance longer on the dance floors. And we've just been like, me personally, I've been listening to Maroon's sets, like Vinti Dance and all those podcasts, crazy. And for you to like mention it, and like how small is the scene that some young producer who is mostly involved into like industrial stuff meets Maroon, who is like almost the total opposite of the sound, you know, like all polished and groovy and like happy and dancey. like to connect. It's just crazy, and it really amazes me every time when we talk to other guys, like how small is the scene. And that's maybe my next question. When people look at the scene, but are just like the normal visitors, how would you describe the scene as someone who is being a part of it and someone who lives in Amsterdam? Is it very small? Do everyone know each other? What's your relation?
That's a good question. But like from my perspective, I see it as a really small scene. I even see like most of the DJs and producers out there. I know them also on a personal level, which is crazy. And you start to think like, oh, is everyone a producer and DJ? But of course, this is not the case. Like there's a big crowd and a lot of people don't know like all these producers and stuff. But it's just the scene that you want to get involved in, where you also attract people. My whole friend group shifted as well from people that were nothing in well, this is maybe sounding a bit talking down, but they weren't involved in the musical scene. And nowadays, like, my whole friend group is so involved in the musical scene. And I got friends that are like also really big into producing and into also playing. And I love to see my friends and this whole group just come to life. So for me, it's a really small scene. And also, I also wanted to mention, because Jesse even came to Werkstatt, and it's such a beautiful gesture, because from someone that normally doesn't listen to like industrial or industrial driven music, it's really an honor to have someone visiting your event. And also from him, it's really professional to listen to multiple genres and even acknowledging multiple genres, which I really admire. Yeah.
Speaking of genres, how would you, for example, explain to someone who goes first time to your event, how would you explain them the difference between hard techno and industrial techno? Because I saw there were some conversations about that regarding Werkstatt, if I understood
Reddit
it correctly.
As well, right?
What?
On Reddit as well. I read them as well.
Yeah.
It's
how would you like?
Because the concept industrial techno shifted. Because a lot of people have misconceptions about industrial techno. And in my opinion, industrial techno is just a really raw form of techno, which isn't like BPM restricted. However, it needs some like raw elements, like elements from, I don't know, just raw elements and like a certain type of groove that could be incorporated into these elements. So not that static techno, which is always four to the floor and always like just static. It could be hard, like hard techno, but in my opinion, it has more layers within it, like more layers based around those elements and soundscapes.
And do you think that we always want to talk about like, okay, yeah, so the trendy stuff, which is basically like super hard, trancy, poppy, edits, techno, you know, almost hardcore, is going to like separate again into its own genre, and all like all the popular producers of that genre are going to stay. But then like the techno is going to like take a step back and also like maybe go to the underground. Do you see that as an option, or do you think that in this time with TikTok and with all the social media and the globalization, everything is just going to mix until eternity?
Well, you could see it as a danger, but I don't like to see these certain stuff from a danger, because I also know some people and some producers that produce like those more static hard techno kind of sounds, but they enjoy it, and it's lovely to see them producing days upon days and getting better at it. So I don't like to discriminate on like a certain sound, but I don't want to see like industrial driven music, how I want to make it industrial driven. I don't want to see that vanish. So I like to like pioneer into a new direction. It's okay that these new subgenres are being created. People should just play and make what they want, and that also includes myself. So I want to create a new subgenre named industrial drive, and I want to let people know that there's more, and just to broaden up like musical subgenres. So I see it as an option to pioneer into a new direction.
Interesting. Yeah, if you allow me to quote you quickly, and then we can again expand on it. You said, I mean,
of course,
written, I think Werkstatt has potential to serve as a place for artists to explore the depths of their own creativity, of their sound. How would you expand that thought about Werkstatt?
Yeah, this is a quote from Werkstatt. It's on the page. We'd love to see artists not get limited by a lineup. So we are booking artists that we really think fit in Werkstatt's genre. So in the genre of like an industrial and industrial driven soundscape. So we will always include like artists that are always industrial driven, we don't want to have like a limit for someone to play a certain BPM or play a certain sound, or we just want artists to play whatever they want to play, because we know that the artists we book will fit into the lineup. So it's a job for the booking agent and for the bookers us to have artists that fit into a certain lineup. But further than other than that, they just can play however they want and whatever they want. And it's also you heard it in Werkstatt, next time you guys should come. but you really hear like people opening their ears, and it's fun to see people experiencing like new sounds, which is amazing to see.
I think the possibility of Werkstatt, as you described it, and as the concept goes, it's fucking brilliant for all those like artists who had started, you know, with the new industrial wave, and also like the older ones, to like really, as you said, play whatever as themselves. I mean, if they want to play like the fast stuff, let them play it. Also if they want to like experiment with some breakbeats and some analog noisy stuff, let them be. And I think that's a fucking awesome niche that David and myself and I think everyone in the team would love to come. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, thanks.
So, and do you have with Werkstatt, for example, as it's a very young project, do you have any, apart from the artistic vision that we mentioned, do you have any other goals connected to it? Like, for example, expanding later as a brand to tour around the clubs, or is that too early to talk about?
We got a lot of messages like expanding to different countries. We got like messages, please come to Germany, I'm done with X Sound or Y Sound. So we'll see just how it goes. For now, I think Radeon is the perfect fit. It's a lovely, amazing club with such a good sound system that really also fits to like more harder styles, because normally more groovy subgenres are being represented over there, and it's an honor to have an opportunity to have a party that's more industrial sound based. So that's a big opportunity, and for now I think Radeon is the perfect fit. Other than that, on a personal level, I have a lot of visions and missions and what I want to be and what I want to have production wise. I can go on over that for hours, but for Werkstatt, I think now in Radeon, and maybe we can grow later on.
Of course, just taking it step by step,
exactly.
One party at a time. That's something that we also learned. I mean, yeah, it's good to have a vision. It's obviously, it can be helpful to have goals, but in the end of the day, it's doing each event on its own and making it perfect. And yeah, maybe no need to expand too fast if you will see it, but just like making slow and solid steps.
And what's actually the meaning of Werkstatt?
A good question. Werkstatt means workplace in German. Werkplatz in Dutch. We don't like the Dutch sound of it, actually, Werkplatz. We just wanted Werkstatt, which means like more rough. But a workshop is a place where new ideas are created. So this is the first meaning. Other than that, a lot of industrial sounds really come from the most raw, untamed sound from a workshop, like nails getting, or screws, or whatever. Like those really, really raw sounds from a workshop that get represented in industrial soundscapes. We thought it would be an amazing fit to have a name that represents those sounds, but also from a marketing level, if I can say this, we really try to incorporate the name into the visuals that you see online. So on our Instagram, we shot all those shots ourselves together with a friend of my brother and another friend from Radeon, and us artworks, and you can really see the industrial coming through into those designs.
Yeah, exactly.
Smells like a collab right there, branding wise.
Really,
sound wise, design wise, machine wise, anything. And
yeah.
Do you think that your back to back with Farah is gonna be like the core of this concept? How do you see it right now?
I don't think we need to play back to back every time. We love playing back to back because our synergy. I really love playing together with Farah because we understand each other on a musical level, which is amazing, and it's rare to see this these days. So first of all, I really admire playing together with Vera because she understands me and I understand her on a musical level, but I think it's also interesting to play separately from each other on certain editions, but it definitely won't be our last time playing back to back.
Sure. And was Soenda Festival your first back to back, or did you do it anywhere before?
No, that was our first back to back. Yeah.
And where did you get even the idea? How did it came to it to say like, hey, let's do a back to back?
I didn't even know. They asked Voltage Agency back then to Vera, hey, would you like playing back to back together with Sam? But I didn't even know. Vera told me, hey, did you hear this and this and that? And I was like, what? What?
So you just arrived there with the new SB. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Well, right. Of course, there were some months prior to that. But getting the news was funny because I heard it through Vera and not through like the agency or through the festival itself. And before that, I did play on the talent stage of Sunda. So that's also made it easier to be in that position. But it's a lovely team, Sunda.
Oh, it's spelled Sunda?
Sunda, yeah.
Sunda. Okay. It might be a bit harder to remember because we were always saying Sunda, but Sunda it is. So that's maybe a basic question, but like so far you have played, what do you prefer? Of course, there's nights that also the festival meets like the best energy and everything. But which one do you prefer? Small clubs and intimate vibes or big festivals?
It really depends on the party, because there's the factor of like having such a big impact on so many people, which is an amazing thing in my opinion. It feels amazing. Also for like for example, like I played in Now and Wow for Pakt, which was amazing to actually play for this type of crowd. It's like a big crowd that you just. You get up to the stage and you think like, wow, I'm standing here. But other than that, I think the intimate level of like playing in a club like Radion is so much fun. I really can't choose. I like it both. I just like making people happy with my music and playing on letting people hear new sounds. I think making people happy nonetheless will just make me happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and sorry, I couldn't give you like I like this more, but I really
of course that's why I asked you, because I kind of knew that you're gonna answer that it's not the case. Like even the festival can bring out the energy as well as the club, and sometimes the club does not hit as it should. But it just depends on the night, as you said.
Yeah. And maybe I need, if I play 4 or 5 more years later on, maybe I have a concrete answer to answer. So.
I forgot to ask, how do you know Vera? Where did you meet? Is she an old friend of yours?
Or? She's an old friend, I think, around 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Time goes by so quickly. I don't know the exact date or something where we met, but it's just a friend group that got created where also Vera is in, Danisher is also in. It's like one big friend group with people like building up on each other. It's like one big friend group that just got created and keeps on getting bigger.
So you met, where did you meet? Like, and like, of course you had a lot of same thinking, I suppose, with all the music, but like, was it just like, by the way, or reference from a friend, or?
The first time I even heard from Vera is via an old friend of mine. And we were going to Possession in Paris. I think around COVID or something, or pre-COVID. And I heard Vera, and I 2 weeks later or something, we just were on the same place, and we just started talking, and it was... I don't know the exact date how we met, or this is really rare for me to recognize these like certain times. It just happens.
Yeah, sometimes when it just happens is the most natural, you know.
True. Well, in our case, like in Edesso, it was really like a moment that we met each other. So that was something I can recall for a lot of times. And I met, I don't know, actually.
I vividly remember when we were standing in front of the bar, you know, and those concrete like tables.
Yeah.
And our friend Stash, you know, David Stash. I was just like stopping to, and he had snooze, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, you also have snooze, and I remember it, and yeah, that was awesome, and then it just like felt natural to talk to you about the scene and the music and stuff.
Yeah. Thanks. Likewise. Really.
Thank you so much.
Do you have like a role model or someone that you look up to in the music? Some qualities that you want to like have?
There's a lot of people. Even like smaller producers. For instance, I recently made a track together with a friend of mine, Sam, Seven Sins. And he really inspired me on some certain stuff, and he really teach me some really valuable stuff. So role models, I even got smaller like artists, which are really role models to me. For instance, some Seven Sins, but mostly producers. Like the whole Demian Records part, I really admire. Subverted Kibernet team, etc., are like really a lot of people that I really look up to. Yeah.
David.
Yuri, now it's the music production part. That's your part.
I
can go on.
So how was Ableton your first DAW you picked up, or was anything else beforehand?
No, I really, well, from a musical perspective, I play guitar for like all my life, but I switched to electronic music around 4 years ago. So I've been producing around 4 years, almost 4 years, I think. And I started on Ableton. I started on Ableton 10 and got to 11, and now there's even 12, but I haven't upgraded yet.
just wanted to ask if you have updated, but you already answered, so.
Yeah. No, I still stick to 11. It's too expensive to upgrade for such little things. So
yeah.
I managed.
And you know, when you start, the ratio between like good things you make and bad things, I mean bad things, like just the tracks or tries just don't sound good, you know. Some of, there's like a percentage, okay, maybe 1 out of 10 tracks is good that you really like. It's at least that was in my case. And as you progress, the percentage like gets more close, or even like there's the ratio between good and bad tracks you produce is getting like smaller, you know. Was it hard to push through at the beginning because all the new terms and all the terminology and stuff?
But when I was younger, I was pretty addicted to like video games and stuff, and when I started producing, I got rid of it all. And it's like I had the urge to learn this stuff because I really got motivated by it. It's like natural dopamine kicks that you get out of producing and making something new, like I thought in the beginning. So it wasn't like a case of like, it's really hard to get better on it. I just liked the process of getting better, and I still do. It's like a never-ending process, which I really admire. It's not like there's no end in sight of getting better. But I just love the process of getting better, and now I'm already like yeah, moving into like more hardware based electronic music making. So I just got this like.
Oh shit! Which one is that?
Mother 32.
Oh shit! But that's Korg or Moog.
Moog. Yeah.
Moog. Okay. Yeah, Moog.
Or Moog. I don't know how you.
I don't even know.
But I just really like getting better in general. So that's an easy process for me, and it's like every day I there's nothing I do more happily than producing. Really.
How much do you spend time in the studio? How much time in the studio do you spend?
I think there's not much more that I do. There's like I do some sporting, I sport, and most of the time I be in the studio, like from I start like in the afternoon and I end in the midnight. So every day around 9 hours, 10 hours.
Holy shit! It's like a full job, a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. But it doesn't feel like a full-time job. Like really, it's like a moment for myself. I start making dinner and then I have like I watch a small movie and then I go producing again. And I was like, yeah, why did I watch like a small YouTube video or something? I was like, yeah, fuck it. I would much rather produce. So it's a whole process of getting better and training your ears, etc.
Yeah. And in the era, okay, let's maybe like just shift when you said like you produce so much, and of course all of the artists' kind of job is to produce that much, but it does not feel like the job. As you said, it feels natural, you know, it goes fast, it goes by super fast. And do you sometimes feel like you're not on the right path, as in terms of you're not getting certain gigs, or you're not getting as much gigs as you wanted to? Does that hold you back sometimes, or are you like just navigating through all the hard stuff on the beginning, and you know that there's a brighter light at the end? Does that bother you, that sometimes maybe not so skilled producers get more gigs than you?
That's
don't be humble. Don't be humble. You don't need to be humble.
Well, thanks. I just wanted to say, because there's a lot of producers that are like great on multiple levels. A lot of producers also nowadays get like gigs or get more famous because of their social skills. I'm not the best at that. I'm still getting better at that. But this could be an intricate process. I think it's really normal for producers, for everyone, to have like certain downfalls in their productions. And sometimes even like for me as well, I say like I produce sometimes 10, 11 hours a day, but this is not always the case. Sometimes I really feel that I can't create something new, or because I don't want to lie to myself. I don't want to produce music that is like not made out of my heart. and I like to keep it that way. And I don't think people can rush this process. But always like jealousy and stuff could be a huge deal breaker. But I really got better at it. I think we'll see how it goes, and I will always try to get better, and we'll see where the ship lands. However, I will always be happy. So, but good question. Yeah, really.
And do you think when talking to some of your friends, producers who maybe perform on even bigger stages, when you talk to them, do you think it's like nowadays a little harder to navigate the balance between like being artistic and expressing yourself, and on the other side having the sort of like a pressure of this materialistic or like commercial success. Do you know what I mean? For example, yeah, someone goes a little out of their artistic ways because the benefits on the other side are so much bigger.
Yeah, but from my group itself, I really get motivated out of everyone from my friend group. They always motivate me, and they, for instance, Vera, she will definitely say the same stuff that I say right now, maybe in a bit of a different manner. But I think it is always the soul first. So what you feel, what you get into the productions, this will always be first. And whatever commerce it's about that, I'm so sorry, I can't get out of my words. I think it's first of all, I think the soul that you put into music is always first. So also my friend group is on the same page as me and on the same wavelength. I don't have any friends that like create music just out of like materialistic beliefs. I don't think that's a healthy manner to discuss with friends, or to have friends that even have that vision.
Yeah, for example, what I wanted to say is not like have a vision to, let's say, do it on purpose to go out of your artistic ways to get some more commercial success, but more of if there's an outside pressure to create something that the environment expects you to do. For example, you know, if some artists, they get successful with one style, and then in 2 years, they are human, they can get bored to it. But the environment and all the pressure doesn't allow them, and they still are forced, you know, to put out something that made them successful, but now it doesn't make them happy anymore. I mean, to me, I think that can be the case with quite some people today.
Yeah. Mm. There's also bigger artists which this happened to. However, on one case, they could be lying to themselves. And on the other case, they are doing it on purpose. So I think it could make them happy. I don't know how people are built and how people are thinking. But even bigger artists, they can change style-wise. But like I said earlier, it's not a bad thing. Like, people just need to play whatever they want and whatever they like. However, they don't need to be lying to themselves. If they get really happy from a certain style, or like maybe a style that is currently trendy, just go for it. But don't lie to yourself. Just play what you want to play.
So good dad. I don't know how to say it. Amazing.
Or play what you don't want to play, but just don't tell it to yourself that you like it. Play what you don't like, but at least don't lie to yourself. That's what you meant, probably.
Yeah, but
because
no, but like, if you play what you don't like, then you're lying to yourself. So play what you like. Really, don't lie to yourself on what you like. Because there's also bigger producers in the scene that I know that are playing this new type of sound or this new wave, which is, and I'm talking like a new wave. I'm still young. I'm still. I got into techno like, I don't know how long ago. I think 6-7 years ago. And so this is not long from a techno perspective. So I should be humble with saying this, but people are going on after COVID era wave, if I can say it this way. But it's not a bad thing if you like this sound. So don't play a sound because other people like it, but just be true to yourself. And this could be the case with any genre and any subgenre and any
music musically and musical way.
Yeah, because you know, I also know a few examples without the names. I know a few examples who are, you know, true to themselves, but the truth is that they want to play big stages. You know, they don't necessarily like what music they play, but their truth is they want big stages. You know? So this still to me is kind of truth, you know, and kind of being true to yourself, because you don't tell it to yourself, oh no, I play this music because I like it. No, you don't like it, but you still
get to experience the big showman business.
Yeah, but the big showman business is your truth, you know.
Yeah,
so you're still like being true to yourself. You don't
tell
yourself.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's what I wanted
to
get.
I think to open a discussion, we can like separate the two truths. So one is the one person you were mentioning, David, is true to his persona self. So his persona, his like appearance, his public appearance, but not true to his artistic beliefs. Maybe he's not even an artist, you know. And you can be a persona and absolutely not an artist, as a like some source of some outlet of creativity, but you can be a public figure, you know.
Entertainer. And,
exactly, yeah. And lying, like maybe he's not lying to himself as a entertainer, but maybe he's pushing his artistic self on the side and like I hope you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I really like your way of saying this, like he or she likes playing on big stages. And this could be the case, and indeed you could be a showman, and we also need showmen because there are people that like it. So it wouldn't be a market if there were zero people that liked it. However, I think it's necessary to keep on letting people in general know that there's so much out there, that there's so much subgenres, and maybe they will discover something that they like even more than what they used to listen to. I also narrowed my whole musical vision and my whole musical background down to this, what it is now. I have a vision of creating a new subgenre, industrial drive, and I think it's important for me to stay true to that because I love it. I love this sound. But back in the day, I wasn't even listening to techno when I was 13, 14. So, yeah, musical preferences change. And I just think people, and especially artists, don't need to lie to themselves. Just do whatever makes you happy, but don't lie to yourself. But it's a funny way how you told it, because some people also might just enjoy a big stage, which I do too. I think it's natural.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to put it out, you know, because I think there's different levels and different sections to what makes a performance. You know, it's obviously the musical, of course, but then on the other side, at the end, it's still, if you go outside of your producing studio, this is a business. You can't deny it, right? So, I mean, you get paid, promoter needs to sell tickets. So it's different levels of making it. And if someone says, my goal and my definition of success is to play big stages, I don't care what music it is, then if they tell it to themselves and they are conscious of it, I kind of respect that thought process a lot, because you're still like true. You don't say to yourself, I'm doing it because of XYZ. You know exactly why you're doing it. I want to do it because of the crowds, and that's it. And I think we also need stuff like that, because it's it runs the show.
They also make people
however
happy.
You
yeah,
yeah absolutely
whatever makes people happy. But just yeah, people don't need to lie to themselves.
To go more like personal, you said that you have narrowed down your like music preferences and tastes and inspirations and like things you look up to create your own sound. But what does Samus as an artist listen to when he's cooking breakfast or when he wakes up or when he's driving on the U-Bahn or anywhere?
Yeah. Well, I listen to different genres. Most of them are electronic music. So most of the time it is techno. It is industrial techno. However, I do also listen to a lot more softer music, like organic electronic music, which I can send you a playlist if you'd like.
Yeah, I would like.
And also
absolutely.
Like, yeah, I will send it to you. But I also listen to, for instance, like artists like Sestrika. You should really check into it because it's amazing. I think she or they really take you on like a musical journey. She plays like live sets. She's from St. Petersburg, I think. But it's yeah, it takes you on a journey and it's beautiful. I will also send it to you. I think you would
yes,
love.
Yes, please do. Please
yeah.
do.
But most of the time, just organic, electronic, or techno. So two main genres. Which people don't really know, actually, that I listen to organic electronic music. Because
but what does that organic electronic? Can electronic even be organic?
Yeah, it can, definitely. I will send it to you and you will immediately understand it.
Ah, okay.
It's like,
okay.
It's like really world music. But like really manipulated electronically, so it's like a hand pen, for instance, but manipulated electronically, which can get really interesting results. So it's
okay.
a lot softer.
Okay.
I also sometimes even play it on the CDJs, but it's a lot softer. It's around 100 BPM, so it's really soft.
I'll really dive deep into the playlist.
So yeah, maybe what do you think? It's one question that we didn't ask you, but you would like to be asked. Is there something on your mind that you think, apart from everything you've said up until now, that it's worth putting out?
We discussed a lot. But I would love to ask because like the two of you told around Kibernet and when we were talking about Werkstatt itself, you were seeing some resemblance. Could you get more into that? On what kind of regard were you seeing resemblance? Because I'm super interested in it.
Me, where did I see the connection?
Yeah.
Well, just obviously in the sound and in the designs. You know, you have... or they have like screws and then Kibernet has nails and
true
now industrial.
Yeah, on that regard it
industrial
vibe.
Yeah,
it really is.
sounds like a cousin,
but also musically wise, yeah, I think it could be an awesome option to maybe do like a stage hosting or something.
Oof, that would be amazing.
That's a discussion for another time.
Yeah. Also keeping the options open for us to host you in K4, of course.
Vice versa.
Yeah, that would be fucking amazing.
Well, this is secret data.
Yeah, of course. We're gonna, Max is gonna cut it out.
Yeah. fun.
So yeah, I mean, Yuri, if you have anything from your flow vibe to ask anything else, I mean, everything that I have written down, all of the topics we pretty much covered. From clubs to festivals to your relationships at home, how they influenced you. I think that's a really, really nice topic that we covered. Obviously, your project with Farah Werkstatt, that's really nice. So yeah, if you guys would like to add anything.
I'm just like now looking back to our conversation when we started, and just like I cannot like express my gratitude enough. It maybe sounds corny or anything, but really like some time ago when David and myself were like walking through Ljubljana and looking at our old factory Rogino, which is now renovated, and I remember like fucking vividly when we were off from some commercial club called Circus and going home to David's house, to David's place, and on the way there was like the old factory of Rog, which was like a haunted place for us back at the time, and we decided like to yeah, fuck it, we're going in, you know, because the place was known for drugs and stuff. And yeah, so since then, to shorten it up, since then we were like looking up to the scene, you know, and trying to be involved somehow. And after some years, talking to some guy named Sim from Netherlands, you know, about the music and how we connect on so many levels. Just blows me away, and I'm really looking forward to all the guests we have in this season, and really, really happy that we know each other, and really looking forward of what we're expecting to do together, music-wise and event-wise and friendship-wise.
Yeah, my gratitude goes the same way to the two of you. I really admire you guys. So I'm really excited for the future as well, and also musical wise, I'm really excited.
You know what I'm excited about?
Tell me.
10th of May when you come to Berlin.
Okay. To Subterra. Okay. You should come. Yeah, true. I'm down. Yeah. When I don't have a booking, I'm definitely coming. State it here. Well, now, Max will cut it out and send it to me.
I'm supporting both ways. If you get the booking, awesome. If you're coming, even more awesome.
Yeah.
That being said, David.
Yeah. I think thanks for trusting us with your time. It was very ad hoc. It was very, very short notice. Very grateful for your time and for your energy.
Yeah, thank me. I like having these conversations. So
absolutely. Pleasure.
Likewise.